Hi, Michael Cathcart. This is Books and Arts, and this is some music inspired by a cemetery. That's a little of Bone, Shell, Stone and Feather by the composer Duncan Gardner. And yes, it's music inspired by a graveyard. The East Perth cemeteries in Western Australia were the main burial grounds for the Swan River Colony from 1829 until the end of the 19th century. And now they're a concert venue. Sound from the Ground is a concert in two parts. The first is a collection of international music chosen in response to the graves, and the second is the premiere of Duncan Gardner's new work. Claire Nichols takes us to rehearsal at the East Perth Cemeteries.
I've been in the East Perth Cemeteries just a few minutes, and I've stumbled across this gravestone, which I'd love to read to you. It says, "In affectionate memory of Mary, the dearly beloved wife of Arthur C. Canham, who peacefully passed away June 27, 1912, aged 40 years, a devoted mother, a model wife, patiently suffering during life, has earned her rest." There are so many stories to be told here, and let's go meet Sarah Murphy, the Director of Conservation at the National Trust, to tell us a bit more. What does this place tell us about our early history and the Swan River Colony?
It absolutely encapsulates those first 100 years of settlement here, well, 70 years of settlement in Perth, really, what is Perth today. It has everybody here. There are names that you recognise when you wander around. You see the names of suburbs and companies and businesses, all sorts of names that we all know, but you don't necessarily associate them with people. But the cemeteries are really great in reminding us that the Mungers were a family, and the Bowers were families, and the Chippers were families, and they're all here for us to see today. It also encapsulates very ordinary people like the majority of us that were just going about their own business and doing their own things, and so their stories are all represented here as well. So we have everybody from the paupers through to the wealthy, and people from England, from Ireland, from Spain. They're all here in these cemeteries.
Do you get an idea of what life was like, or what challenges people faced at that time?
Without a doubt. And even looking at the collection of graves we have today, you can see the hierarchy of the graves. So particularly we're standing partway up the site. As you get to the higher ground, you find that the graves become more ornate and more expensive. So it's very much like life today. The wealthier you are, the better the view and the more ornate the residence. So the cemeteries are very much like that. And when you go further down, the land starts to drop and the graves become more simple looking, and there are actually big areas that look like they're vacant, but they're actually not. There are burials there, but the earlier grave markers were made of timber, and people that couldn't afford the fancy marble ones and so on would have timber grave markers, and they've long since gone. But other people could never afford a grave marker. They were just trying to keep their families alive. So there are a whole lot of reasons why there are no grave markers in some areas, and the cemeteries look like they're empty in those spots, but they're absolutely full.
It's certainly an incredible place, and it has an incredible history. It doesn't immediately summon up the idea of an art project, though. Where did this come from, Sarah?
Well, it had its origins, actually, at a National Trust property in England that I visited a couple of years ago when I was over there on a scholarship. And we went to a performance in a 17th century deer coursing lodge. And I was in this amazing heritage building in a heritage place listening to harpsichord music that had been written for the hunt. And I found it so inspirational and evocative, actually listening to particular type of music that told a story and in a place that was appropriate to it. I thought, we can do something like this in Perth. We've had our artists in residence here for just a little under a year, going through a process of researching the graves, finding out the sort of things that speak to them about the cemeteries and the people that are represented here. And then that's been translated into a really fascinating repertoire of music.
The concert will be performed in this beautiful 19th century church set in the middle of the cemeteries. Let's sneak inside and have a listen.
Jonathan Fitzgerald, the first artist in residence for the East Perth Cemetery, so that's a very exciting thing.
How are rehearsals going?
Going well. Yeah, they're ramping up now in the lead up to the performance, but everything's coming together really, really well, so I'm quite pleased with how things are sounding so far.
So you were charged with choosing the music for this concert. It's a pretty open brief, I think, to respond to a graveyard. How do you go about doing that?
With trepidation. Initially, it was a pretty terrifying prospect, actually. It started with lots and lots of research because I knew sort of nothing about East Perth cemeteries, knew nothing about the early settlement, so I was just learning as much as I possibly could. And then, of course, you have sort of stories that stick out, and it was sort of following those leads and then finding music that sort of tells the story. That was really the challenge and ultimately what's made the program so unique.
Can you give me an example of a story that did stand out and directly inspired a piece?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of really, really sad stories, and we don't focus just on that, but it is certainly part of the early settlement, and it's a side that we wanted to tell. The Hester family came over in 1829, came over with his wife and several children, and just to summarize, wife died in childbirth, infant died several days later, and then this whole series of hardships befell him after that. So we have a piece specifically for sort of this circumstance that he found himself on. You may have heard of the opera Dido and Aeneas by Henry Purcell, so we're using an aria from that one. Yeah, that's just one example of many.
There's a real range of music that you're using in this. Were you pigeonholing yourself into any, like, it must be religious, it must be this or that, it must be of a certain age? How do you go about choosing it?
I kept it completely open-ended. I didn't want to put any kind of constraints on myself. So we have everything from Renaissance music by Renaissance composers to living Australian composers and everything in between. So literally the entire sort of history of Western music and living composers was what I drew from.
Hi, my name is Duncan Gardner. I'm a Perth-based guitarist, composer.
I just had the great pleasure of hearing the last movement of the work you've composed for this event. Can you tell me a bit about the work?
Yeah, so the piece is an 8-movement suite largely based upon funeral music. So music that was actually performed at funerals for people buried here at the East Perth cemeteries. And the last movement is actually not related to the funeral music. It's an acknowledgement of Noongar activity, life and funerals within the site before it was surveyed by John Septimus Rowe and then turned into the East Perth cemeteries.
How much time did you spend wandering around the cemetery to kind of come up with the concept for this piece?
Well, I first came to the East Perth cemeteries last year, about, I think, September, October. I used to work at Trinity College, which is just around the corner, and for years I would drive past and sort of look in and wonder if you could actually enter this site, but it was always, you know, there's the gates and stuff. So I came in October, and I've made every opportunity to come here that's been available to me. I borrowed a key and come in on weekends and things like that, and just sort of explored the place. And I've been inspired by so many different elements. Like, there's these black feathers that are scattered around by the birds. There's the, you know, the crumbling gravestones and the bell and the church itself and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a few months, but I finished the work over the summer. So I finished it by the end of January so that we could actually rehearse the music together.
You're talking about the feathers, the crumbling gravestone. How do you actually represent that musically?
Well, the sound of the bell is easy to represent in music. You can use sort of like harmonics, and there's a guitar technique called campanella where you play notes across different strings and let them ring on as if it sounds like bells they kind of ring over one another. And with the feathers, we're actually going to be using the feathers to strum the strings of the guitars in the seventh movement. So that's a very, it's not just a symbolic gesture, it's a physical, I'm actually using the feather to strum the strings. It sounds really far-fetched, but actually, you know, the idea of having a pick, like a plectrum in pop music, whatever, to strum your guitars was actually an older tradition from like the, you know, 1500s and before, where we'd use quills to strum the string. I've thought about a day, and I thought about, you know, sort of sleepy beginnings and sleepy endings, and I've sort of arranged the music in a way where the mood and the speed, like the tempo and the activity within the music somehow relates to the part of the day. So the midday being very active, morning being, you can imagine maybe just gentle rays of sunshine coming through, and at night time it ends with this dance, a midar, you might call it a corroboree, but for the indigenous people, dancing at night.
I imagine there hasn't been a lot of times in your career when you've been asked to write a piece about a cemetery. Where does this measure in unusual projects for you?
Oh, look, this is obviously the first time I've been invited to write music inspired by a cemetery. And it's really close to my heart because, you know, I was born and raised in Western Australia, in Perth, and I've had an amazing chance to actually research local history, which fascinates me. So all of the street names, you know, which you drive or walk across every day, you know, you discover that the person's actually buried here. So for me, that was really interesting. And, you know, a lot of friends have been like, oh, cemetery is spooky, you're going to write music about zombies and things like that. But it's really not. Like, once you see the place, it's just a beautiful, peaceful kind of place. Smack bang in the centre of the city, you hear buses and police cars going by. And even though it's so old, it feels very now as well.
Composer Duncan Gardner there with his piece Bone, Shell, Stone and Feather. And the other piece of music that we heard is Salve Regina by the 19th century missionary Dom Rosendo Salvado. And the concert's called Sound from the Ground. It's at the East Perth Cemeteries on Friday and Saturday nights. And you'll find details at our website,